This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Mira Sivasuthi. In public sector organizations in general, the internal audit function holds high potential for promoting accountability and improving government performance. Now, what is the state around the world as well as in Malaysia? I mean, we all know the Auditor General's report was just released and, you know, it's created a lot of brouhaha as to what we should be focusing on and what we shouldn't be. What are internal audit functions that can be put in place and what is the state at the moment? With me, of course, Ranjit Singh. He's the president of the Institute of Internal Auditors Malaysia, and he'll tell me more about that. Welcome to the show, Ranjit. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you very much for inviting me back to the show.
You know, Ranjit, is an internal audit function mandatory for government in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, yeah. Internal audit function at this point of time is mandatory for the public listed companies in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And also what we call the MKD, Menteri Kewangan di Perbadankan companies. So all the companies which comes under the Ministry of Finance, they need to have an internal audit function. The government sector in terms of the ministries and the regulatory bodies, it is still not very clear in terms of, you know, whether every ministry or every regulatory authorities actually, you know, they actually have internal audit function. But generally, you find that those companies which comes under MOF, Ministry of Finance, they generally tend to have, you know, internal audit functions.
Okay. And ideally, what should be the case? I mean, around the world, when I was reading Australia and, you know, the US and all of them, seem to have moved forward in terms of having better tools in place for internal audits as far as government is concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, would you like to just explain a little bit more about how they have moved forward and what have some of them put in place which we could sort of emulate going forward?
Right. I think if you take the quick survey of, you know, the US, Canada, Australia, and the UK, you find that the internal audit functions in the public sector, you know, they have done quite a lot in terms of improving the internal control environment, the governance structure of the ministries, the regulatory authorities in those countries. Mm-hmm. And they have got good tools, basically, you know, that basically helps them to, you know, manage that. But I guess when you look at Malaysia, I think one of the things that we always are concerned about, you know, in terms of, you know, whether internal audit is seen, you know, more as a cost or do they see it more as, you know, something which basically can add value to the organization. Mm-hmm. And I always believe that internal auditors, you know, are there to add value to the organization and, you know, rightfully, you know, they should be part and parcel, you know, of the whole mechanism of things, and every ministry and regulatory authorities should promote internal auditors in that respect. Okay. So they should have an internal audit function, give them the proper tools, give them the proper reporting lines, and, you know, so that they can actually do their work.
So based on what you said about, if you are under the Ministry of Finance, and then, you know, there is a mandatory requirement for you to have internal audits, and the rest, that's sort of a grey area then.
Yeah, it's still a grey area because, like, the public listed companies is very clear because you have got the listing requirements. Mm-hmm. So the listing requirements are very clear that every listed company in Malaysia needs to have an internal audit function. Yep. So you can either have it internally or you can outsource the function. But beyond that, you know, it's not really very clear. I mean, the banking sector, yes, you come under the central bank. So central bank also has got, you know, clear guidelines that, you know, every bank has to have their own internal audit function. That you can't even outsource. You have to have your own internal audit function internally. So banking, insurance companies, all those which comes under the purview of the central bank, you know, they all have internal audit function. The ministries, I think it's still not very clear. I mean, there's nothing, you know, in the law, you know, which says that, you know, you need to have an internal audit function. But I think, having said that, you know, what I've seen in the ministries is, you know, most ministries have got internal audit functions. But the issue is then in terms of the effectiveness of those internal audit functions itself.
Okay, so having internal audits is one thing. Then you need someone to audit the auditors.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So how will that happen for government then? I mean, are you saying external auditors should ideally go in and internal audit is not really the problem at the moment?
Yeah. I think it's always a question of, you know, who audits the auditors. I think always comes out. I think for generally, if you follow the standards of the Institute Institute of Internal Auditors, Global Standards, what you find is that in these standards, you know, there is a requirement, you know, for every internal audit function, you know, to get an external party to come in to do a review on the internal audit function to make sure that the internal audit function is done, you know, based, you know, on certain standards and so on. So what we find is generally in Malaysia, the public listed companies, they tend to have either the Institute of Internal Auditors or, you know, a third party, one of the big four firms to come in, you know, to do this review, you know, once in every 5 years. This is what we call an external assessment of the internal audit function. Mm-hmm. But I've not really seen this, you know, happening within the public sector, you know, where you actually go in to check on the internal auditors whether, you know, they meet the standards which are laid down under the International Professional Practice Framework, which are the standards which are used worldwide.
Okay. And internal audit have, you know, it has ideals, right? Mm-hmm. But in reality, are those ideals usually met? Mm-hmm. And do they just remain ideals? You know, yeah. In reality, what happens, sure. You know?
I guess in the
there seems to be a lack of congruence between internal audit ideals and reality.
That's right, yeah. I will say that, you know, when you look at the listed companies in Malaysia, I think that I will say that, you know, with the internal audit function, you know, they come out with all these recommendations that they provide, you know, to improve the process or to improve, you know, or probably to add value to the organization. So in that respect, you find that those ideas and recommendations are basically presented, you know, to the management, presented to the audit committee. And then the audit committee has a role to make sure that these recommendations are, you know, implemented, you know, subsequently to that. And the internal audit is actually follow up to make sure that, you know, the issues are actually implemented. And if it's not, they then report back to the audit committee. Mm-hmm. Within the government sector, public sector, I think it's a similar approach, you know, that you have the internal auditors bringing out the issues, you know, and that goes on to the audit committee within the ministries. But I think the question always is, you know, in terms of, you know, whether the issues get finally implemented, you know, that's a question mark at the end of the day. And I mean, you know, this goes back, you know, to earlier you're talking about the Auditor General's report. You know, there were issues which has come about, you know, over the years, and you find that there are some, you know, some issues which are repetitive. Yeah. So again, you know, is somebody following up, you know, on some of these issues? But I think one of the things that I can think about in terms of how we can improve, you know, some of this aspect of follow up, I think that the internal auditors play a very important role within an organization, or whether it's in the public sector, whether it's in the private sector. And I think one of the things that I would like to see the internal auditors in the public sector do is to actually follow up on all these issues which are raised by the Auditor General, you know, take last 3 or last 4 years back. Follow up on all these issues and make sure these issues, you know, and the recommendations which are made by the Auditor General are actually implemented. And those which are not implemented, you know, they should actually report back to the Auditor General so that the Auditor General, you know, can then raise it again or raise it in a different manner, you know, with the relevant authorities or, you know, relevant parties so that these issues are actually closed.
I think Malaysians tend to make that mistake. We make the same mistake with the budget. We tend to forget what happened last year and whether budgets were actually met. Yeah. And it's the same with the Auditor General's report. I mean, we seem to look forward, forgetting what's actually happened before.
Right.
So how do you what should Malaysians be aware of in terms of public sector spending and, you know, wastage, of course, is what we're talking about here. I mean, this is our money.
Yeah, I think the wastage, I think there's been a lot of talk on wastages, I think, and the wastages, I think, you know, links back to, you know, areas of corruption and so on. I guess, you know, this is an area where I think even the government at this point of time is taking it very seriously, the way I see it. I think this Auditor General's report, I think it's not going to be the same as what we had in the previous year.
Why not?
I think what they have done in the last 1 month, you can see that in a lot of, you know, things they have done which they did not do previously. I think one of the things they have done is setting up the integrity units within the ministries itself. And the integrity units are basically, you know, going to be staffed, by, you know, at least one or two members from the MACC. So MACC is going to help set up this thing, and they're also going to be part of this integrity unit within each of these ministry. And this, you know, has not happened in the past. And I think one of the reasons why they want to have this integrity unit is to make sure that, you know, issues of the nature which comes out in the Auditor General report, you know, they are basically, you know, resolved, and, you know, hopefully that, you know, going forward we do not have similar issues okay. going forward. So that is a change. Secondly, I think even the Prime Minister himself, I think, has made quite a number of statements together with the Minister in the Prime Minister's department. And I think they have set up, you know, certain committees and all to address this in a more serious manner as compared, you know, to what you have seen previously. And hopefully, I think this time it will work. And also the fact that I think the Prime Minister has appointed a Minister in the Prime Minister's department, Dato' Paul Lau, I think that has been a very good move because, you know, he comes, you know, from Transparency International in Malaysia, and I think that, you know, has been a very positive factor in terms of, you know, how we can basically move forward to reduce, you know, corruption in Malaysia.
Okay, so scrutiny is what you're talking about.
Right.
MACC is going to be one. We also have someone from the Public Services Department.
Right.
We also have someone from the Finance Ministry as well as
That's
police.
Right.
Now, what sort of powers will these scrutineers have?
Yeah.
Do they have a charter that they have to keep to? You know, what are their boundaries?
That's right. I think MACC is, you know, they have got wide powers. You know, so if there's any areas, you know, which links, you know, to corruption and all, you know, they can, you know, immediately, you know, find that area out rather than waiting, you know, 1 year later, you know, until the Auditor General report comes out. I think the issue has always been, you know, the Auditor General does the work, you know, say for 2013 or say 2012. The report comes out in 2013, and by the time the report comes out, these issues are, you know, probably 18 to 20 months old.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is actually address the issue at the point of time, you know, before the issue. That means having more of preventive kind of controls rather than detection kind of controls. So preventive is, you know, by making sure that, you know, before the thing actually happens, you have put in a mechanism in place, you know, to address those areas. So those kind of things are quite good. Even I think recently they announced that, you know, for every project which is going to be above $100 million, you know, rather than, you know, waiting for the project to be completed and then be audited, you know, they want the Auditor General to actually go in, you know, and look at those projects as the projects are going on. And I think this is a very important step because you're actually going in to put in the prevention mechanism before something goes wrong. You know, you prevent the thing from happening. So I think these are some of the good measures which has taken place this year, you know, as compared to the previous years.
Which makes you wonder why it's taken so long, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess as we progress towards, you know, towards becoming, you know, a developed nation in 2020, I think, you know, these are important things that, you know, needs to be there. You know, but taking, you know, your question earlier that, you know, that we tend to forget about things very fast. I think what I would like to suggest here is, you know, we should actually pick up some of these points that, you know, are raised in the Auditor General's report, you know, and get someone or even the press or the media to actually follow up, you know, to make sure that these issues are finally closed or, you know, or re-raise it after 6 months to find out what's going on with some of these issues. I think that will be an important, you know, thing where, you know, the general public itself will know what's going on, and then you find that the ministries will basically, you know, be under pressure to basically make sure that, you know, all these issues are actually closed, you know, so that we don't have similar issues, you know, going forward in the following year.
I think the difference is people. Yeah. People have made the difference.
That's
really.
Right, yeah.
Don't stop talking about it.
Sure.
You know? Don't forget about it. When we come back, we'll find out more about behind the scenes of internal auditing with Ranjit Singh, President of the Institute of Internal Auditors, Malaysia. If you have a question, send it through 016-201-9000 or you can tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. It is Meera Sivasuthi on The Bigger Picture. We have Ranjit Singh, President of the Institute of Internal Auditors in Malaysia with us. And we're talking about who audits the auditors, especially in the public sector. Of course, I think Ranjit has established that lots more can be done as far as the public sector is concerned. What constitutes a red flag, Ranjit, if you are, you know, called in as an internal auditor, or an auditor,
sure.
To be the scrutineer, right? What constitutes a red flag?
Yeah, I think there are many events which actually, you know, constitute red flags. I think you start from the simplest, you know, when somebody doesn't take his annual leave, you know, then you find that, you know, why is this person not taking his annual leave? Because when somebody takes an annual leave, you find that another person takes over his role.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something, you know, which is going on, you know, within that particular area, you know, the person who takes over, you know, there's a good chance that you'll find out. So annual leave itself, you know, it's a red flag. You know, when somebody doesn't take and, you know, seems to be very hardworking and, you know, doesn't take, you know, annual leave for, say, 3-4 years, then you say, you know, is this person really hardworking, or is he trying to hide something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have, you know, various changes within the finance department, I think that's, you know, also a red flag. When you have a weakness in internal control system where people don't really want to enhance the internal control system or don't want to spend money to enhance the internal control system, I think that's also another red flag. Because basically, you know, internal control systems, you know, will prevent, you know, from misappropriation or fraud, you know, to take place and so on. So those are the kind of things you can find, you know, from the perspective of red flag, or, you know, where you find that, you know, people trying to achieve, you know, something when, you know, you are not able to achieve, say, a sales target, and but you're trying to achieve it, and, you know, your bonuses or your share option schemes are all tied back, you know, to a certain level of performance, you know, then sometimes you find that can also be a red flag. So again, you know, you need to look, you know, from different perspective. There, different industries have got different red flags, and
right.
So on.
And yeah. For government, how would that work?
For the government sector, I guess, you know, the red flags in terms of, you know, I guess the internal control is very critical. I think that's a very, very important task. I think in terms of the procurement area, I think that's an area, you know, that everybody, you know, is always concerned, you know, whether, you know, we are buying things, you know, at the right price, at the right quality and so on. And I think those are the areas that, you know, we need to continue to look at and, you know, make sure that, you know, we spend some time, you know, looking at those areas, you know, because those are, you know, areas where the tendency of, you know, red flags, you know, tend to be much more as compared to the other areas.
Right. You know, as president of the Institute of Internal Auditors Malaysia, have you not sort of suggested or recommended to government that, mm-hmm. you know, you have a pool of auditors who mm-hmm. are quite capable to come mm-hmm. in and do this job on behalf of the people? I mean, mm-hmm. is that a path that we could go down?
Yeah. I think from the Institute, what we continue do is, you know, we continue to provide education program to the internal auditors of the public sector. I think we continue to have dialogues with the Auditor General. I think Auditor General has been a great guy because he really wants to improve, you know, not only, you know, improve from a perspective of internal control. I think he wants to improve the internal auditors within the government sector, because that will also help him in terms, you know, of making sure that, you know, things are done in accordance with the policies, procedures of the public sector. So from our perspective, I think what we tend to do is we are now organized conferences, we have organized training, and we are also focusing a bit more on the public sector, just to make sure that the public sector internal auditors are trained, you know, to look out for some of these areas, you know, where these areas can, you know, be improved, internal controls can be improved, they can provide value-added findings to the ministries, and internal controls, you know, can be enhanced there forward. So I think that has been one of the roles that we have played, and at any point of time, you know, whenever the government agencies, especially Ministry of Finance, has invited us, you know, to speak to their internal auditors, we have always gone. We have provided our best speakers, you know, to make sure that we can embark some of the knowledge that we have, you know, not only locally, you know, by also, you know, from internationally, we can pass some of this information and knowledge to the internal auditors within the government sector itself.
Right. But then again, it's not easy to be the whistleblower, Ranjit. I mean, how do you then go about, you know, doing your job bravely?
That's right. I think to us, you know, with the Whistleblowing Protection Act that we have in Malaysia now, and also I think, you know, most of the public listed companies are moving towards a direction where they are having, you know, their own internal whistleblowing policies, procedures. You know, they're starting to have hotlines and so on.
This is
and,
for government?
This is for the private sector. For the government, I think generally because you have the Whistleblowing Protection Act, and then, you know, each of the ministries, you know, are embarking on the integrity units, and then you find that, you know, there's also, you know, various opportunities for the people within the government sector to, you know, blow the whistle, you know, as long as it's done in good faith, and, as you know, and they are provided protection from a perspective that, you know, that they will not be you know, sacked, you know, if they provide information in good faith, which leads, you know, to investigation. So there are avenues for them to blow the whistle, but I think one very important aspect that we must always consider is in terms of the public and private sector, is that in the private sector, you find that the internal auditors report to audit committee. The audit committee members are independent members, you know, which are appointed, you know, by the board. And therefore, you find that, you know, there's no fear and favour for the internal auditors to report, because they don't report to the MD functionally. Functionally, it's reporting to the audit committee. But in the private, in the public sector, the issue is, I think, you know, when they report to the audit committee members, the question is whether these audit committee members are internal of the ministry or whether they're external. I think there's
exactly.
always a big question mark.
Of course, the objectivity and your independence.
That's right. So the issue is, you know, if you look at back at our standard, if you look at the definition of internal audit, you know, internal audit is, you know, supposed to be an independent, objective assurance, you know, and consulting activity to add value. So if you cannot, you know, address the issue of independence, you know, that becomes a big question mark and a big challenge for the internal auditors within in the, you know, the the public sector itself.
Mm-hmm. Would you be able to talk about how internal auditors of government feel about their role in government? I mean, based on your interactions with them?
I think the internal auditors within the government sector, I think there are quite a number of good guys in there. I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, coming out with the issues and so on. But I think the issue is, you know, whether these issues get raised, you know, to the levels that we want to see, you know, that, you know, I'm not too sure.
What's stopping them?
Again, I guess it's the issue of independence. I think that's, you know, that's the issue, you know, whether, I guess, you know, when, if you cannot clear the issue of independence, the worrying part always is, you know, if I raise these issues, you know, will I, you know, be removed from my job, or will, you know, will I not get promoted, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm reporting to the party, you know, which I'm actually doing the audit work itself. So the independent issue must be addressed, you know, on the longer term. And I think the Auditor General has been doing looking at this particular issue based on my discussion, and I think they are looking at how to put some of the Auditor General staff, you know, into the audit committee so that they can act as, you know, as an independent party. And I think that is basically, you know, starting to, you know, we are starting to see that, and I think that will probably help address, you know, some of these issues.
What do you think will help enhance this process, Ranjit? Because if you look at, well, just let's just take Australia for an example. I mean, I just did a talk set at 2 o'clock about how two members of the board of the reef authorities, the Great Barrier Reef, were found to have a conflict of interest as far as a coal project was concerned,
sure.
at, you know, in Queensland.
Yeah.
And it took Greenpeace to put that pressure on the government,
sure.
to bring out these two individuals who had this conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying, or, you know, do you think then that pressure from us and from whoever else is going to help make this system much more efficient one in government?
Yeah. I think
so. We need to scream louder than we're screaming at the moment.
Yeah. I guess, you know, if you look at Malaysia in terms of the corruption level and the corruption index, I think the good thing is the corruption index has improved last year. And this year we expect, you know, further improvement. I think with that, you know, it's not going to be an overnight thing that, you know, we are able to address all these issues. But the way we are moving in terms of setting up the integrity units within the ministry, you know, the Auditor General, you know, has been, you know, reporting a lot on these issues. You know, you have got MECC, you know, which is, you know, doing, you know, a good job at this point of time. I think with all these issues and the pressure, you know, from the general investors, you see, investors also want to make sure that, you know, before they invest in a country, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, they are able to do, you know, business in a fairly fair manner. So I guess with the pressure from all these parties and different parties that are coming along, I feel that, you know, over time, you know, we will be able to address, you know, some of these critical issues. And going forward, you know, we should be able to see less of these issues, you know, cropping up.
You know, if we regress and do not move forward, you know, as you said just now, what are the consequences?
I think if we don't address the issues of corruption, we don't address the issues which are being raised by the Auditor General Office, I think there's going to be, you know, probably more leakages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these leakages are actually going to affect our budgeting process. Yeah, and I think, you know, these leakages, what you find is that, you know, you can probably use some of this money from the leakages, you know, on good cause. And if you don't address that, and I think the most important thing is if you don't address this, you know, you may have an effect on the investors coming to Malaysia, especially when you talk about MNCs. MNCs, when they want to come into a country, they want to make sure that, you know, the system is, you know, fairly good. And I think that's important.
Should we not be worried about the fiscal deficit? I think that's something that many people are concerned about. most Malaysians don't understand the impact of a fiscal deficit and how will it impact the ordinary Malaysian if our fiscal deficit continues to, you know, dive further.
That's right. I think there are measures which are being taken now at this point of time to actually reduce the deficit, and I think, you know, that's probably on the right track. I think we need to address the deficit. I think that's no question about that. But I guess, you know, being a country which is developing, you know, over the years and, you know, putting the infrastructure and so on, you find that, you know, this will be quite common, you know, that you will have a deficit. But you must have a plan to address the deficit. I think that's critical, which I think in the current budget, you know, they have got, you know, some plans, you know, to address the deficit, and hopefully these plans actually, you know, materialize. And I think, you know, if they materialize, then I think we are probably on the right track.
Okay. And just coming back to internal auditors, at the end of the day, internal auditors in government as well will have recommendations.
Yes.
Right? And you will escalate these recommendations. Now, what if these recommendations are ignored? I mean, as an internal auditor, what do you do?
Yeah. See, normally, what you find is that once internal auditors raise an issue, they come up with the recommendations. And recommendations then are presented to the management team and then to the audit committee. What happens then is, you know, if the issues are not addressed, you know, in the following cycle of audit in the next 6 months or whatever, these issues are then brought back again and, you know, put to the audit committee. And what you find is that the audit committee then has to, you know, put pressure on the management. You know, if the recommendations are good, they have to put pressure on the management to implement these things. And what you find is that even the Auditor General then comes in, you know, and they also look at all these internal audit reports. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's further pressure from the Auditor General himself, you know, looking at the internal audit reports. So to me, the follow-up process is there. It's a matter of, you know, making sure that, you know, the audit committee members, you know, play their role within the public sector to make sure that the recommendations are implemented. Okay. And I think that, you know, will make a change in terms as we go forward.
So I suppose we have standing in good stead because our Auditor General is bold and he's revealed all of this. That's which is right. A great start, really. How would you recommend the way forward for government and internal audits in order for us to address this whole issue of wastage, I think, which is a huge problem in this country?
I think the few recommendations that I have, one is I want to make sure, you know, I think one of the things that we have to make sure is to make sure that the internal auditors report to an independent party within the ministry, and the board of the audit committees within the ministries, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, the members are independent. I think that's very critical. I'm not too sure whether, you know, at this point of time, you know, all ministries have got independent members within the audit committee. That means independent of that ministry. That means you have some, you know, somebody from the outside, you know, coming in, or somebody from another ministry, you know, actually coming in.
A third eye sort of
the
looking
third
at,
eyes, that's right. That's okay. Number one. Number two, I guess the internal auditors, you know, they need to play an important role in terms of following up on some of the issues which are raised within the Auditor General's report. So they, you know, should follow up immediately, you know, while waiting, you know, for other actions to be taken to make sure that some of these issues does not reoccur. So that is critical for the internal auditors, you know, to follow up on some of these issues. And thirdly, I think it's important, you know, for the Auditor General, I think he's done a wonderful job. I think it needs to continue, you know, to motivate, you know, some of these internal auditors, you know, to put some of their guys in there, you know, to make sure that the internal audit, you know, has got the confidence, you know, that they have the support of the Auditor General, you know, to raise some of these issues.
Well, we're counting on you and your team, Ranjit, to help train them all and, you know, have that independence and to have the courage to actually surface some of these things.
Sure.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for inviting.
That was Ranjit Singh, President of the Institute of Internal Auditors Malaysia, on Who Audits the Auditors in Government on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.